Get ready, get your spirit ready to receive from the Lord. Get your spirit ready this morning.
This is the way you follow me. I am the way you follow me.
Listen, the gospel is the way he follows me. Kalimana. I am the way
you follow me.
Revelation is the way you follow me.
Come on.
I am the way you follow me.
Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. My source, my life, my origin. Meshikataka, our Father.
Father to child. Spirit to spirit. Lighted by your word.
Can you sing? Come from the heart.
With the bread of life,
comes our hope alive. The touch in the world.
Father to child,
spirit to spirit,
well, my spirit to spirit, lighted by your word.
This morning, just be the day upon me. I'm feeling God wants us to worship. You're ready, God. Celebrate Him. Father, we thank you this morning that you bring your word to us with great power and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Please celebrate Him and take your seat. And welcome somebody beside you to church. Welcome someone beside you to church. Glory to God. Please celebrate the choir. Hallelujah. I want to welcome everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray that, like never before, the Lord will bring us to a great understanding of His word. In the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen to that. Last week we discussed something very interesting. For those of you who are just coming back, please try and get the tape for last week and listen. It's an instruction for the year. It's a prophetic message with an instruction and principles to help you run this year and to end the year in great success. So I admonish you to get the message. And please listen. We have a lot to share this morning, so I will not have the leisure of going to recap what we studied last week. Today we'll be looking at by the help of the Holy Spirit, what I titled, What is the Gospel? What is the Gospel? I'm double sure you'll be blessed this morning, and I trust God that He will use this message as He turn around for many of us here, in the name of Jesus. Let me ask your neighbor, say, what is the Gospel? Yeah. This question is the question many preachers have not been able to answer. Many believers do not have a comprehensive answer to this question. They heard the gospel, they believe the gospel, but they are not sustained by the gospel because they don't have a full understanding of what the gospel is. The gospel has its boundaries. The gospel has its jurisdiction. There is what we call another gospel. It is not all preaching that is the gospel. Don't be deceived to think everyone who stands by the pulpit preaching is preaching the gospel. It is not all preaching that is the gospel. So every believer should know what the gospel is, so that anytime you are listening to someone or someone stands before you as a preacher, you know if the gospel is being preached or not. It's important. Praise God. Ask your neighbor again, say, what is the gospel? Yeah. Unfortunately, many don't know what the gospel is. There's a lot of confusion. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help this morning. He spoke a lot of things to me. And I'm trusting Him to help me communicate effectively what the gospel is. Let's look at the scripture. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and from verse 15. Apostle Paul speaking. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, and to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the judge shall live by faith. Praise God. So having the understanding of the gospel help you to know, like I said earlier, what the gospel is not. Let me quickly show you 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to prove to you that it is not all preaching, all message, all rhema, all exegesis that is the gospel. In fact, you may not know, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 24, He said, in the last days, many false teachers shall arise. They will preach, but they will not preach the gospel. Yeah. Many false teachers will arise in the last day. Will they preach? Yes, not the gospel. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and from verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. Indeed, bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with the godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you find verse 4, you can read it with me. For if he preacheth another gospel, another Jesus, whom we have not preached. For if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. Praise God. This is Paul warning the Corinthian church that there is a preaching of another Jesus. That there are preachers that will come like me, Paul, who will try to corrupt your mind. That word corrupt means pervert. They will try to pervert your mind, to misinterpret the gospel. that somebody quotes a scripture from the word of God doesn't mean he's preaching the gospel. Mind you, many people spoke, even in the Bible, including the devil. His voice was recorded. Angels spoke. Animals spoke in the Bible. So that somebody say, it is in the Bible, doesn't mean he's preaching the full gospel. And there's all kind of hype in the church today, all kind of motivations, philosophies, the intelligence of human idea, appeasing or appealing to human soul. Sweet words. That was why Paul said, I have not come to you with the excellency of speech. Hiya. You, there are men who will talk and you'll be crying, not because you heard the gospel. God is not God. Excellency. How many of you have ever listened to Les Brown? Les Brown is one of the greatest motivational speakers in America. If Les Brown start talking, he's not preaching. You will jump up. Paul said, I didn't come to tell you that. Not with the eloquency, with many words. The Bible says, a man called Apollos was mighty in words, but wasn't preaching the gospel. Priscilla and Aquila listened to him and said, this man preached well, but he wasn't preaching Christ. This is not the gospel. The Bible says, and they sat him down and taught him the way of the Lord more appropriately. And the Bible says, he mightily convinced the Jews with the gospel that Christ Jesus is Lord. Shout hallelujah. Say, lest any man deceive you, pervert you, corrupt you with another gospel. The danger of another gospel is that it produces another spirit. That's why be careful who you listen to. You will begin to see a manifestation in you can't trace. Attitudes. Yeah. The hearing of another gospel produces another spirit. But the Bible says in the last day, the Spirit of God speaking expressly that men will fall for seducing spirit. Now men don't are not accessible to spirit, or spirit don't access men except through the instrumentality of words. When I keep speaking over you, there's a spirit entering you. He said, when he spake unto me, the spirit entered me. As I'm talking now, there's an entrance. There's a watering and washing by the spirit entering you because I'm preaching the gospel. And that's why I want to listen to me. And do you know why it's important you hear this message now? Internet has given you access to listen to all kind of people. It was God that saved me. Early those days when somebody bought a phone for me. Note 2, when it first came out, I was one of the first person that got it in Nigeria. Somebody bought it. I didn't know it was a calamity. I couldn't manage it. I started listening to all kind of people. So, messages that neglect the place of fasting and prayer. Started saying this, it's not all the time you pray. It's not all the time you fast. It started affecting me. But thank God for the word of God. Shout hallelujah. So, one of the things, another gospel does is that another gospel produces in you another attitude not after the order of Christ. And that's why you see in the body of Christ today all kind of people, all kind of attitude and characters. Galatians chapter 1 and from verse 6, here Paul was warning. If you read from verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at what Paul said. To tell you how serious this matter is. Let me tap in and say, this matter is a serious matter. Because listen to me, if you are given to the wrong teaching of the gospel, it can destroy your life. Why do we have people today who will go on internet and said every minister of God in Nigeria is a liar. There's a woman people call Mommy Gio lately. It was my wife that told me. Oh, you all know her. My wife was saying Mommy Gio. I said, which one? She heard something. A spirit entered her. Somebody told her something. In the name of seeking the gospel, seeking for power. And Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. And I've told you before, anywhere you see power and gospel is not in alignment, run, it's not the power of God. Gospel is not well preached, it's not God's power. Praise God. He said, but though we are an angel, look at how this is like Paul saying, even if I, Paul, come back and tell you that Jesus is not Lord again, may I be cut off. So because means to be cut off from Zion. But though we are an angel from heaven and preaching any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. If anybody knows that woman, they should show her the scripture. That there is a curse awaiting those who preach another gospel. That is not Christ. That's why it's the riskiest thing anyone can take is to choose to be a teacher. Because teachers will be judged differently. It's good to teach, but study well to teach appropriately so that you not be in trouble. He said it again as a matter of emphasis. As we said before, so I now again, if any preach any gospel not unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Meaning another gospel which we have not preached, let him be accursed. Praise God. So understanding the gospel, this is what this message is going to do to you. I'm telling you the benefit of this message. When you understand the gospel and what the gospel is, number one, it keeps you safe from false teachers, apostles, false prophets, who pervert the gospel. Now, there are different ways the gospel is perverted. I have taught you this before, if you remember. I taught you lying tongues, lying works, and lying wonders. They are some of somehow, perversion or corruption of the gospel has in it an element of the truth. You cannot really be deceived if truth is not mixed with lie. The reason you are attracted to it is because there is an element of truth in it. Now, lying tongues is telling what does not exist, or lying about God or about Christ or about angel. For someone to say, and I went to hell. There are many on the YouTube. People like that woman. There was one man like that. I don't want to mention his name. He was popular in the whole Southwest. He will come to a congregation like this and he will say, God showed him that only one person will make heaven, and that will be him because he's the preacher. And you see people start crying. They don't know the gospel. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I see them crying. That man traveled for so long. You know, many people invited him. I was invited to Abuja and they were telling me how they invited him. And All Night with Jesus program, over 5,000 people seated. And he said, when he saw that only two people, if Christ come, as at the time he was preaching, only two people will make heaven. In ministers there. The minister that told me said he too was crying. That's why after 30 years of walking with Jesus, they make altar call, you still come out.
You don't understand the gospel. When we didn't understand, we came out for altar call several times. We didn't know the gospel. When somebody comes and says, our topic today is hellfire. Hellfire. And everybody is feeling the heat. Praise God. The understanding of the gospel make you bold in the face of adversity. The righteous shall be bold as lion when he understands the gospel. The righteous can be molested if he doesn't have the understanding of the gospel. Where courage, where you derive courage from is full understanding of the gospel. You are courageous. I remember those days when I have revelation. When I started having the understanding of the gospel, when I wake up, I'm not perturbed. I'm not afraid. What used to come out of my mouth is, no be today. You missed it, the devil. Understanding. Understanding. May you have understanding. All the letters written by Apostle Paul to all the churches after he had ministered to them was to achieve one purpose. That you may understand when you read. That you may understand. Holy Spirit, help me this morning. We have a lot to cover. We have a lot to cover. Number two, why you should understand the gospel, it costs you to, having the understanding of the gospel keeps you from falling away. Having the understanding of the gospel keeps you from falling away. Why will somebody wake up one day after he has given his life to Jesus and wake up and said, I don't believe that there is heaven. I don't believe hell. I don't believe Christ. I've met someone like that. A very young boy. His father was an elder in the church. And so his father said I should help him talk to him. So I called him and I was talking to him about, you know, his life, salvation. He said, he said there's no heaven. He said, heaven, hell, it's a lie. That there's no heaven, that there's no hell. That there's nothing like, he said, we all die like animals. That was what he was saying. And so a lot of people, you see somebody will wake up one day and said, you don't need to go to church. You can worship God anywhere. It's a symbol. It's a sign that there's a falling away happening. One day he will wake up and say, there's no need to serve God. Many of them, you see them on the internet today. Galatians 5 and verse 4. If you find it, let me read quickly. Galatians 5 and verse 4. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he was talking about the Jews who leave the gospel of grace and hold on to it. He said they are falling. They are falling. May you not fall. I say you will not fall. So when the gospel is preached, according to Romans chapter 1, from verse 15 to 17, this is what you should expect or what you should see in the gospel or from the gospel. It is important you listen to this. Very important. So let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 from verse 15. Listen, for I am not ashamed. Okay, let's start from verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everybody write down, say the power of God. Yeah. What is the power of God as far according to the gospel? What is the power of God according to the gospel? The power of God is the capacity of the Spirit to convert a soul. That when a soul hears the gospel, there's an enablement that comes to him. When you heard the gospel, there was a force behind your believing. You didn't just believe. So, Apostle Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is that force that has the transformational capacity to change any man. So, that power therein is the transformational power of the Holy Spirit to change the mind of a sinner. Don't you wonder how someone has destroyed life, killed people, and just by mere preaching, a murderer, a kidnapper, an harlot. The Bible says he met the woman who had tried all kind of men, wanting to try Jesus too. By the power of the gospel, the Bible says the woman brought the entire village to him in one meeting. So the gospel power, according to the gospel, is the greatest demonstration of power there is the conversion of soul, not healing of the sick. So when you want to see the power of God ultimately demonstrated, it is in the conversion of a sinner unto righteousness. That's where the power of God begins from. No matter the healing you do, the miracle you do, if the soul of the man is not saved, he is still going to hell. If you heal him of paralysis and his soul is not saved, he will end in hell. Praise God. Somebody say power according to the gospel. Say it again. Say power according to the gospel. So anytime, anywhere you hear God's power, that was why Paul was speaking. He said, my preaching come to you so that your faith will not stand in the mere wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Power. Somebody say power. So power is not rising and falling. Power is not shaking. Power is not scattering tears. Power is going to meet a man on the street who is a drug addict. And while you are preaching, the power of God enters him. And say, I don't know why. I don't know why. Something is burning in me. The day I heard the gospel, I felt the power. Come on. On the 19th of February 99, this power hit me. A young brother came. I was coming out of school. He met with me. He said, let it be at a zero level in your mind. I've not come to beg you for money. And that was exactly what I was thinking. He said, this one wants to beg me for money. I'll show him. As soon as he began to preach, it was as if a hammer was taken. No wonder Jeremiah said, like hammer is your word. He said, it was caught up in my bones like fire. As if something was burning. As he was preaching, I was head bound like this. I couldn't leave. What I used to do to preachers is to insult them and leave. I've insulted people before preaching. The power held me. And I was crying. I was shivering. The guy didn't know why. The power. You are here because the power brought you here. The power of God according to the gospel. The transformation power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, for a man cannot say Jesus is Lord except... that the Holy Spirit there is the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul was saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the converting capacity, the transformational force that changes. Listen to me. If anyone ever prophesied to me before I got born again, I was going to preach, I would say it's a lie. My life didn't look like it. But the power made me. For the Bible says, he made us able, enabled us, that we didn't only hear the gospel, we are now dispensing it. Somebody say power. So when you hear anybody say power, shout power, hear power. It is the gospel. Power is in the preaching of the gospel. So, and the preaching of the gospel is only done by this same power. As I'm preaching to you now, there's a power given to me. It's called the power of utterance. You can't preach. Listen to me. The reason we preach to sinners and they are not converted is that we want to preach by our power. You buy Martina, you give him. You buy meat pie, you give him. He eats your meat pie. Say, don't worry, I'll come to your church. But listen, when you are backed by the power of God, those days where we were doing Iwuru street evangelism. One of the guys that came from Iwuru, I called him to the office, like four of them. I was interviewing them. And Bro Samson came in. As he came in, only, but I want Niagara come. Only me, Mabumushi telling what the church. He said in his life he has never entered church. He said he just came and said, follow me. He said, all of a sudden he saw that he was following him. And that's the power you should crave for. not Oluwa. Let me, no, listen to me. Listen to me. If you have that power, healing will follow. Miracle will follow. For this sign shall follow. Those ones should be following. But the real power you should crave for is the power that converts the souls of men. That's the power you should crave for. That when you stand before somebody and say, Jesus is Lord, 3 days he can't sleep. 3 days he can't sleep. Holding his hand and said, Jesus loves you. It happened to me in school. A cultist who were in class and the Lord said, go preach to him. As soon as I went to him to start preaching, lecturer came in. So all I could do was just to shake his hand. I said, Jesus loves you. And he pulled his hand away from me. That was all I said. 3 days he came back crying. He said, what did you tell me that day? He said, I have not been able to sleep for 3 days. See, he could not even remember what I told him, but the power entered him. I didn't ask him. He showed me his occultic ring. I didn't ask him. Listen to me. Power has not been released enough. That's why you are pampering a sinner. When power come, he himself kneel down and start telling you what you didn't ask him. Praise God. And listen to me. No matter how you try to preach, if you don't preach the full gospel, the power is not released. The power is released when your gospel is sound doctrine is what releases the power. Not just mere preaching. Somebody say sound doctrine. Yeah. Sound doctrine. So the preaching of the gospel is done only by the power of God. You can't preach the gospel except you are enabled by the power of God. Have you tried to preach without the Holy Spirit before? I will show you a frustrated preacher. Yeah. Brother William Coney was saying one time, he said one time he became a professional preacher that he prepares to go and preach without the Holy Ghost. And one day he went for one fellowship, to one fellowship to preach without the Holy Ghost. And he said he stood there like a dummy, like this. And people were praying for him. They had to help him pack his Bible. He said, you must just go. He said, but he told them to wait. And right there, he repented on the pulpit and said, God help me. He said, and all of a sudden, everybody started crying. The power came. He went to the US or Europe? And they took him to the center where children who are addicted to certain characters, to drug and all of that, are kept, a rehabilitation center. And they told him not to preach. His guest told him not to preach. So he got there. And you know he has tribal marks. And because he was asked not to preach, so one of the white young chaps there now went to him and started touching his cheek. Say, what happened to you? Did you fight lion? And he said, let me tell you what happened to me. My father gave me a mark so that anywhere I go, the mark will be seen on me. I cannot be lost. Now ask the boy, did you have a mark? You don't have a mark. You can get lost. And the boy started crying and others joined him. How do we get a mark? And from there he preached Christ. They needed a mark. For the Bible says, we bear upon us. Say the power of the gospel. Yeah, it's very important. So number two, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And verse 17, he said, for therein, meaning the gospel contains something. The gospel comes with a package, with a gift. When the power hits you, you are not left alone just with the power. Something is given. So verse 17 tells us what is the package that comes with it. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So when the gospel is preached, the righteousness of God is revealed, is given. What is the righteousness of God? Bringing a sinner to a right standing with God. The gift of righteousness. Someone say the gift of righteousness. So when a man says, I accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, and he believes in his heart, he becomes righteous. What did he do? He believed. That's all. What he did do to become righteous? He didn't do anything. He only believed. So he becomes righteous. So the gospel is the power of God and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, bringing men to a right standing with God. How many of you are righteous here? Praise God. It's not every congregation that used to put their hands up. Some places, if I ask this question, even the leader of the church will still put his hand down because they don't understand the gospel. So I will have to preach this message now. I will now ask again. Then all of them will now put their hands up. I say, okay, you now understand what you are saying. Because some of them will say, "Storipe eniyan o le rin kori moji." That's their understanding of the gospel. Omode o le je ko ko mo ra lowo. That's their understanding of the gospel. But it's a gift, right standing. For he made he who had no sin to become sin, that through him I may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you are righteous, shout hallelujah. Shout a righteous hallelujah. Right standing with God. You'll be surprised that many don't believe this. That's why they confess Psalm 51 all the time. They don't believe they are in right standing with God. God said you are in right standing with me. I said your sin is ever before you. So what has the gospel done to you? Meaning the gospel has never been preached to you. If your sin is ever before you, the gospel has never been preached. You have never believed the gospel. You have never accepted it. If you confess that your sin is forever before you, then your gospel has not been preached to you, or you have not accepted the gospel. Yeah. So, the faith to believe is supplied by the gospel. Faith to believe does not come from the sinner. The sinner does not have capacity to believe on by himself. The faith to believe the gospel is supplied by the power. So when the power hits you, faith is released. When you preach to someone, the man you are preaching to as a sinner does not have capacity in himself to believe what you are preaching. Romans 10 verse 17. Faith cometh. So as you preach the gospel, faith enters him. So when faith enters him, he's able to be. So the gospel has faith for you to believe the gospel. Let me explain that again. For you to believe the gospel, the faith to believe it is in the gospel. The power to enable your soul to be converted is in the gospel. The righteousness is in the gospel. Shout hallelujah. So, it is the gospel that supplies the faith to believe in the gospel. That is, faith is not a product of man's effort. No man believed by himself. You are not capable. You can't believe. Man is bankrupt. Man cannot believe on his own without the help of the Spirit. So one of the things the Holy Ghost does to you, when the gospel is preached to you, faith is supplied. As the power hits you, faith is supplied. Praise God. Ephesians 2 verse 8. If you find Ephesians 2 verse 8, read it. Okay, let me read from here. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace ye are saved. Through faith. For it is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So it is God that enables you to believe. How did I believe? The gospel. Where does the faith come from? The gospel. It wasn't your faith. No man has his own faith to believe. The faith comes from the preaching of the gospel. So until the gospel is preached, a man cannot have faith for salvation. Because it is in the gospel that faith is released to believe. Praise God. So a sinner does not have capacity to believe except. That's why the Bible speaking in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. He said, even Abraham. For Abraham to become the father of faith, God preached the gospel unto him. Abraham could not believe until God preached. God had to preach the gospel. And let me tell you how God preached the gospel. Number one, God told Abraham, he said, tell Holy Spirit. Let me show you from the scripture. Open Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. This is important. Galatians 3 and verse 8. Ah. Yes. Yes. True faith. He preached the gospel unto Abraham. Yes. Now, the Bible says, for God knowing that the only way to save anyone who is not a Jew is through faith. So God preached the gospel of faith to Abraham, that through Abraham, members of the nations of the world who are not Jews may be saved. So Abraham became father of faith because God preached the gospel to him. So the capacity to believe God was in the gospel God preached to Abraham. Abraham could not have believed God if there was no power in the gospel preached to him. So there was faith in the gospel that was preached to him. And you see, Hebrew 11 from verse 17 further explains that. Open your Bible. Hebrew 11, 17. By faith,
Abraham,
when he was tired, yes,
offered up Isaac,
yes,
and he that had received the promise offered up his only son.
Come on.
Of whom it was said,
that
in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up.
Yes.
People from the dead.
Now this is the gospel: the death of Christ, the suffering of Christ, crucifixion of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, this is how God now preached the gospel through Isaac. Now, listen to what Abraham believed that made him become the father of faith. Go on. He accounted that as God told him to kill Isaac, that God was able to raise him up.
Even from the dead.
He received him in a typology of Christ. Yes. Praise God. That is where I want us to see. So, what was the gospel to Abraham? Abraham believed that if I kill Isaac according to what God told me, God is able to raise him up. God said, you have believed. Say, that is faith. Because that is how every man will come to me. Believing that Jesus died and resurrected. So, faith was supplied. So, for Abraham to believe that if Isaac died, God is able to... So, faith... Holy Spirit, thank you. The gospel is not complete without resurrection. You can't say we have the gospel. Do you know what Paul said? He said, woe unto us if there was no resurrection. He said, for all who have died in Christ have died for vain. In vain. So, from here you will see that resurrection is the completion of the gospel. A man cannot believe the gospel if he doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That is why the greatest thing the Roman Empire, by the influence of the devil, tried to do is to say Jesus was stolen. They said his disciple. They paid the soldiers money. Go and announce. That's why till date, many Jews don't believe in that Jesus. That Jesus was not the Jesus. His disciples stole him. But I'm going to show you witnesses in the scripture. Who saw him after resurrection? I'm about to say something that is exciting me, but I won't say it now. Praise God. I'm excited. So when the gospel is preached, faith is supplied, then the power of God is released to convert the soul, and the righteousness of God is given. When the gospel is preached, faith is supplied, the power of God is released for the conversion of the soul, then righteousness. As soon as the soul is converted, the last thing done to him is giving the gift of righteousness. Shout hallelujah. And so faith can be hindered or restrained if the gospel does not sustain it. That's why after you become born again, the most important thing in your life is to find a church where the gospel is preached. It's not to buy a car or build a house. Or start a business. As soon as you get born again, the most important thing next to do is look for a church where the gospel is thoroughly preached. Because if not, that faith can be killed. So you see people get born again, and after some times, they look like they have never met Christ. They are not fed with the gospel. So this is why I tell people, you don't attend a church because of the ambience. You attend a church because of the gospel. Is the gospel preached? If gospel is preached, there, either they are wearing white garments or not, sit down. That is where you'll be built. For I commend you to God.
and to the word of his grace, which is able to be the one. Men are not built by musical cantata or suya splash or comedy show. Men are built by the gospel. We sit down. This is the most important thing that any pastor or any church should be doing. The preaching of the gospel. Every other thing is an attachment. If we come to church and all we do is preach the gospel and go home, we have fulfilled it. Because in the early church, they didn't have instruments. They were breaking bread, preaching the gospel, having fellowship from house to house. And they had the church. That was church. That was church in the early days. There was no tithe. There was no offering. And it was a church. So, the most important thing to a man, after he gets born again, look for a church where the gospel is preached. Not a church that looks like who you used to be. To make you more worse than you who you were before you met Christ. Some people, the church they attended was what corrupted their life. They would have been better Christians. Yeah. Praise God. Are you getting an understanding? So, that was why, because faith can be hindered, that was why Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1. Holy Ghost, let's see how fast we can move now. Time is fast spent. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Holy Ghost. And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. Can you read verse 5 with me? Want to go? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of it, but in the... So when you have the faith, there is a place where your faith should stand. If your faith is not standing in the appropriate place, it's possible you live a life not like Christ. And do you know you can lose your salvation? Answer me, church. Do you know that? How? The way you get it. How did you get saved? By confessing. You can lose it by renouncing. If you say, I believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you are saved, you can unsave yourself by saying, I did not believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you are not sustained by the gospel, you can get to that point. It's called apostasy. Get to a point, you say, everything I have ever believed, I don't believe it again. When your faith is not standing in the right place. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is the heart of this message. And listen to me. Maybe we'll continue. I'll just speak briefly. I'll introduce this to you. Then we'll continue second service. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel I preach unto you, which also you receive, and wherein you stand. It is the gospel that gives you a standing. It is the gospel that gives you momentum. It is the gospel, the preaching, the hearing of the gospel, the reading of the gospel, the studying of the gospel. That is what gives a believer standing in Christ. If you speak in tongues only, you don't understand the gospel. You can still be deceived. You don't have a stand yet. That word stand there means steadfastness, to be strong, to be firm, to be fully rooted in Christ. He said the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. So if you don't have enough gospel, you are not standing. That's why we preach the gospel on Wednesday, on Saturday, the gospel. On Sunday, the gospel. Every time we come, we open the gospel. Our song, the gospel. Our drama, the gospel. Because that is how you stand. You don't stand by any other activity. The only thing that sustains a believer, that makes a believer to stand, is the gospel. Anything other than that, you will not live a strong life. And that's why you see all kind of zigzag life. Today, you are burning for Christ. Today, you are down. You have not received enough. If you are filled with enough of the gospel, you will remain standing all the time. Yeah. Somebody say the gospel. So that's why you When you are watching television, watch the gospel. On phone, watch the gospel. You want to stand, watch the gospel. Listen to the gospel. Read the gospel. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible. It keeps you standing firm. Because many things wants to bring you down. Now, let me read this, then we close. By which also ye are saved. It was, now, Paul is now saying, is this same gospel that make you stand? It was through this same gospel you were saved. I have explained how salvation comes by the gospel, right? He said, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I have I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according the scripture. According to the scripture. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, and the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom greater part remain unto this present, and some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So, Paul is trying to say here that the proof that the gospel is real is that Jesus Christ resurrected. And there are witnesses, say about 500 people saw him when he resurrected. He said, not only them, even I, on the way to Damascus, I saw him. So while I read there, I now added myself. Me, I didn't see him, but he's inside of me. I am a witness that Christ rose. Do you know why? He entered me. That was why I came alive. And if you doubt that Jesus died, that you were not there, you won't believe me. Look at me. You won't believe that Jesus died and resurrected. Look at me. Look at how my life has changed. Is a proof he's alive. A dead man cannot make a man like this. Only Christ. So you are a witness that the gospel is real. Look at how your life has transformed. You are a witness that the power of God is in the gospel. Rise up to your feet. I'm a witness. Let me shout out here. Satan again. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do